Welcome back to The Stall. I'm Jenny Lee, and this is
Sandra.
Welcome back. Wow, today's a really big show. We're going to be talking about mental health.
I'm excited. This is one of my favorite topics.
Why is it a favorite topic?
I feel like, especially with my generation, we're very open about it now, which is so nice. From what I've heard, I feel like in the past, there's like so much stigma around talking about mental health.
You're right. Ooh, come on in.
Let's get down and dirty.
The totally unfiltered, honest.
Up to my brain.
I love your brain.
Stall talk.
Stall talk.
Y'all ready?
Well, in my generation, none of us, now that I think of it, none of us went to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I mean, it was unheard of.
I feel like people from your generation, a lot of them think that like if you go to therapy, you like got something wrong with you, or like you're a little crazy. And I'm like, no, I feel like everybody should see a therapist. It is wonderful.
And you know what? You're totally right. Because when you're talking about you kind of talk about it like, oh, and I went to Starbucks today.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to my therapist today. And how all you guys talk about it. If I was doing that, I wouldn't be sharing it.
Why is that?
Because you're right. I think that it's really personal, and you're totally right. I think that I'd be admitting that something was possibly wrong with my brain.
There's a whole lot wrong with my brain.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I openly admit it. I got ADHD, anxiety, and depression. I'm on all the meds. But that makes me me.
You're so cute. But, yeah, you don't. And so even in my generation, even today, amongst my siblings and all that, it's if somebody's having an issue or, I mean, you just don't talk about it still. So
that's so interesting.
Yeah. And I don't value that position. I mean, again, so what I do is when I'm having a hard time mentally, what do I do, Cass?
You either go to the stalls or you talk to your mom.
Oh, bless you, remembering mom. But no, I pretty much head to the stalls.
Yeah.
Or do gardening, and I do other things.
I feel like there's lots of forms of therapy. Gardening, taking care of the animals, speaking to a therapist. There's lots of different forms of it.
You know what? I will say my journey with a therapist, very personal, is I had a horrific car accident some years back. And my doctor said to me, she said, Jenny, your problem's not going to be with your physical. Even though I broke my neck, I broke my back, I blew out both my knees, broke my foot and all that. But she still said, that stuff we can fix. Your biggest obstacle is going to be your mental health. And she said that from day one. And she said, you must go to a therapist. And I said, well, I'll go to you have to go to the head guy first and then, you know, get on some proper meds to begin with, because, I mean, I didn't leave the home for 2 years or something. But anyway, it did lead on that he said, well, you really need to come back and see somebody. And I was like, oh, I really have to. Okay,
you're well, like, maybe something's really wrong with me.
And I will say that going to this lady, it transformed my life.
It's
so
wonderful.
It is wonderful. So I do acknowledge it. And I also do think, because I'm smart enough to know that mental health is just as important as your physical health. Because they even say, like so much of disease, it's so important that you think positive and you have hope, right? And you have good endomorphs in your brain, right?
I was just thinking about how I recently switched therapist. I used to have a woman therapist. Now I have a male therapist.
Why did you switch?
My first therapist I had was like through my school. And then, because I was in college. And then I like switched and like got a therapist through like my insurance. But I was so nervous because I got assigned a male. And I was like, well, most of the stuff I talk about in therapy is like boys. So I was like, how am I going to talk to a male therapist about like like sleeping with boys.
Right.
And I was so nervous, but now I love it. It's like having an insight to a male's mind. It's so nice.
Oh, see, that is intriguing.
He's great.
I mean, maybe one day I'll grow up and I'll do that.
You should. It's wonderful.
I know. Something that I really should do for my own health, right?
Yeah.
Do you think I'd be allowed to bring my donkey in with me or something?
I have my dogs with me. Literally,
oh,
I do. Yeah, you I do mine on Zoom, like this medical portal thing. Yeah, and I'll just be sitting in my bed with my dogs, and he has a dog too. He just got a puppy. So like at the beginning of our therapy session, it's like showing each other our puppies, and I love that part.
And you know what? That's another thing is I even just learned how to Zoom, as you know, this past year because of Stall Talk. So that even puts a different thought in my brain is before I used to always have to go into an office, but oftentimes now you can go
do
to
it in your bed.
You can do a therapist. Is that common to go to therapy on via Zoom?
Mm-hmm. I feel like more people are doing it now, like online and from their home than actually like going into the office. And it's nice because it takes away that like scary feeling going and checking in and sitting in the waiting room. And now you get to skip all of that and just be in your bed in the comfort of your own home.
So how do you think about sharing therapy and all that on social media?
Honestly, I love it. I feel like before I felt so alone, like nobody talks about these things. And I thought like it was just me going through all these things. As I remember when I went through the process of like getting on medication for all those different things that I have, I was like, what is the process? Like, I had no idea. So I would go online and try to like, you know, search up like other people going through this, and nobody was posting about it. So I finally like posted on my Instagram. I was like, hey guys, I'm starting this new thing. Like, I have ADHD, anxiety, and depression. So like,
and
you
how
go.
Did they
it's
respond?
Out there. So great. I had so many comments and messages from people being like, oh my gosh, I'm on it too. I want it too. And I was like, wow, I thought it was just me. And so many people like talk about how like they're on it too. And it's so nice that's like there's like this community online, like on TikTok all the time. People are sharing like what they go through, like their anxiety, their depression, and all kinds of stuff. And it makes me feel not so alone. And it's nice to know that it helps other people too. But speaking of mental health, this week we have a really special guest that's going to be on with Ivana. She's going to be getting really personal on this one, so stay tuned.
Hey guys, welcome to Stall Talk. So as you all know, I'm a fashion stylist, and I've wanted to share a part of me that I haven't actually shared yet, and that is the inner work and growth journey that I've been on. And today, I would love to share with you a very special guest, my coach and my mentor, Nikki Clinch.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Nikki.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. This is kind of different to our usual conversations.
Very different. The reason why I do this work, there's a lot of reasons. One is so I can survive in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've been on a 6-month journey with you, and it's been a transformative one. Mm-hmm. And so I first want to start with, what do you think people struggle with the most?
I mean, it's a big question, but I think, you know, I've been doing this 16 years now, and I've worked with people from all over the world and different walks of life, and I've worked with grandmothers and 20-year-olds and everything in between, all different cultures. And I can say convincingly two things. One, out of all these different kinds of people, we have many, many differences between us, and that's the color of our skin and the cultures that we come from and the stories of our life and the experiences that we've had. And there are many differences, and those are important. But as well as that, when you get deeper with people, we're not only similar, we're the same. Mm-hmm. And so in all those years working with all these different kinds of people, I see a very consistent struggle. And this is the answer to your question, is that we seem to be consistently searching for something like the bridge to the other side. Mm-hmm. And when I get to the other side, well, then finally I'll be able to feel like I'm worthy, or feel like I can be happy, or feel like I've had enough, or I'm safe, or something on the other side of that bridge is going to finally take us away from the very thing that we've been trying to solve and solve our whole life. Mm-hmm. So that is one consistent problem that I've seen in everyone I've ever worked with, is this kind of constant search. And the other consistent problem that comes with that is that no matter how much we keep searching, it never seems to actually solve the very thing that we're longing for. And the very thing that we're longing for seems to predominantly be unconscious. And it shows up in repeating patterns and cycles that just keep going round and round and round in different forms and different expressions. And I've literally had people in their 80s in my programs who are still searching. Mm-hmm. And the cycles just keep going round. And so that kind of hope that one day we'll get there, mm-hmm. it's an illusion. And so what is it that we're searching for, and why is it that we can't solve it by the way that we're looking for it? So that's a consistent problem that I see in everyone I've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the listeners that aren't familiar with your style of coaching, mm-hmm. can you explain how body-mind maturation differs from usual therapy?
Firstly, I want to make it really clear that there's not one that's better than the other. Mm-hmm. It just depends on where you are in your journey and what it is that you're ready for and what you need. I personally was in therapy for, you know, 20 years of my life, and it was fundamental in my journey and my growth. But what I noticed was that even though I had been in therapy for 20 years and I had gained an extraordinary amount of awareness over why I am the way I am, like, why do I get triggered, and what happened in my childhood, and why do I feel this way, and what my limiting beliefs are, I understood a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. But what I started to see was that that understanding of myself didn't seem to be deep enough to shift how I actually experienced my life in the moments that I experienced it. So I was still finding myself having the same triggers, mm-hmm. and the same experiences of struggles, even though I understood it wasn't shifting how I was actually living. Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, then when I went into train and what I do and why I help people the way I do. So I guess the distinction is that in psychotherapy, you're looking at yourself on an individual level. Mm-hmm. Why do I struggle with my life the way I am? Why does it happen to me? How do I solve my problems? And that's all based on individuality, mm-hmm. and that's important. But that can only get us so far. And with body-mind maturation, we have to zoom right out and have a look at what's creating these patterns and cycles from an ontological context, which is from the design of the human condition, mm-hmm. meaning the mind that gives us the way that we experience our life and the way that we think about ourselves in our life and the way that we identify with ourselves is run by the same mind in every human being. And so in body-mind maturation, it's like going up in an airplane and looking out the window when you hit 30,000 feet and you start noticing patterns and sequences in the landscape of the ground that you couldn't see when you were standing on the ground. That's like body-mind maturation. It's like we're zooming out and looking at your life and your patterns and how you struggle in it, but from the context of human being, and you start to see patterns in the landscape that you just couldn't see when you were just looking at it on a nirvana level. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with me? How do I solve me? And so in order to be able to get even bigger shifts, when you start seeing, wow, what's running my life is the human condition. Mm-hmm. And that starts to shift your whole relationship with being a human being and having a human mind, which gives you a whole nother level of power and freedom that you just can't access, mm-hmm. when you're looking at it only on an individual level.
So when I came to you, I was struggling with repetitive patterns that were inside relationships. There was panic, there was chaos. Mm-hmm. Can you share with the listeners what you noticed in me when you first started working with me?
Well, I think the first thing to say is a lot of people, including yourself, mm-hmm. feel a lot of shame about that. Mm-hmm. And I want to just kind of set that context that a lot of people struggle with what you were struggling with, mm-hmm. including myself. Mm-hmm. But then we don't want anyone to know about it because we're like, but we've done this work and this is my fifth relationship and I'm like in the same struggle that I was in before. How? Yep. What's wrong with me?
Yes, that part.
And then the what's wrong with me makes you want to make it a secret, which makes it even worse, and then the whole thing just gets worse and worse. Mm-hmm. So it's important that everybody hears that. This isn't just you, and you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. So what did I see in you? I saw someone that was starting to panic that the same problems were repeating and you didn't know how to get to them. Mm-hmm. Why is it that I've done this and I've done that in my own healing, but it's not changing. Mm-hmm. So the what's wrong with me was getting louder. Mm-hmm. Does that feel true?
Yes.
Yes.
Bang on.
And of course that creates shame, and shame guilt is when we do something wrong. Shame is when we think who we are is wrong.
Right. It was more so I've done so much work and I have this awareness, but I'm on that hamster wheel again.
Why can't it stop?
Yeah.
Why is this awareness not allowing me to stop myself getting activated in the very moment of intimacy mm-hmm. with another human being? Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, such a painful moment because we all long for intimacy.
And it wasn't just in relationships, it was friendships, you know.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Uh-huh.
Right. Now, so what I saw in you was I saw yourself losing a grip on something that you thought you were able to manage and control, but it was no longer able to manage and control, mm-hmm. while simultaneously thinking worse and worse about yourself, that there was something really broken about you. Mm-hmm. And that's when things just start spiraling.
Yep.
We went all the way back through your life and you saw it looping.
It was crazy that something from my childhood that I was experiencing with my mom,
yes,
was literally playing out in my current reality. And yes, it was like so hard to fathom that something so far back, yes, was just still at play.
Yes. And then you think it's because of them, or it's because of my stomach, or it's because of my face, or it's because of the money in my bank account. And then that just becomes bigger and bigger problems that mm-hmm. you can't solve, mm-hmm. right? So once you start to see that you're stuck in a time loop, and it's not just similar, it's the same. Mm-hmm. It's like an almost identical experience of the feelings that you were feeling as a child looping with the same thought process as a child. So it's mental and body experiential, emotional.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot to deal with, grieve. And it was such a profound shift that it takes a while to process.
Yes.
But when you see the blind spot, it's like, holy shit.
It is.
I need to then go and relearn how to be.
How to be Ivana.
Yeah. Which, yeah. Who is Ivana?
Yes.
If you're not that person, right?
Yeah. And I think we go through multiple layers of that in any self-development journey. There's just multiple pops of these light bulb moments, and that's for everyone in my work and outside of my work. Mm-hmm. But I think that moment when you realize that what's repeating is a time loop, mm-hmm. and it's identical, mm-hmm. and it's made up of feelings and thoughts, and God, does it feel real? Like, it feels so real that the way that his mouth is moving is really that he's dismissing me and doesn't want me and I'm not lovable. Like, it's like... It's a massive blind spot that pops, and a blind spot doesn't appear like a blind spot. A blind spot only appears like a blind spot the moment you see it.
Right.
Before that, it seems normal. It's just normal.
And this is happening to me.
And until the moment you see it, it's like someone's come and wiped your glasses mm-hmm. or your windscreen, and suddenly everything becomes clear.
Yeah.
And that's another level of power that you start accessing. Mm-hmm. Then you realize, whoa, every person I've ever been in a relationship with is like, it's my mother, but on his face.
Literally.
Or
the same dynamic.
Every boss I've ever had is my father, but it's like, and it's not just you or me. That's the nature of the human mind. Mm-hmm. So you ask the question, once you see something and then you can't unsee it, it kind of opens up a whole new possibility of how to be. And it's like a baby learning to walk, right?
And the vulnerability.
Why is it that we as human beings use up so much energy to protect ourselves from being deeply vulnerable when the cost of that is so great? Mm-hmm. Because really, what we're all longing for is connection.
Yep.
and we're longing to be seen and felt for who we really are. Mm-hmm. Everybody. I haven't met a single person, even if they tell me that they're not, underneath and secretly they are. And so the very thing that we're using to protect ourselves from getting hurt is the thing that's blocking us from what we really want. Mm-hmm. So we have to make a trade. It's like, am I ready to stop being in a battle and just let myself put the armor down? Mm-hmm. And can I tolerate being this vulnerable? But the gift is that I get to feel seen and connected.
Yeah.
Which is a huge gift.
Huge.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest things that I've taken away from our coaching is the vulnerability and having to navigate going in and out of it, because I feel myself closing up around certain situations or people and I'm like, okay, what would love do? When Nikki says, what would love do?
Yeah.
And it's remaining open and vulnerable. I think also for me, it's the letting go of control and the surrender of like how things are supposed to be and the expectation of like how people need to show up and how I need to show up and this like perfectionism. And it's just like, it freezes you to the point where that's where I felt stuck in my body when I was like started working with you.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I actually wrote a book called Surrender. Mm-hmm. And little did I know that that was basically me signing a contract, that that was how I was now going to have to live for the rest of my life. But what does that even mean, surrender? A lot of people hear the word surrender and they think it's like giving up or somehow being passive. Mm-hmm. But no, it takes an awful lot of courage and self-trust. And that was actually something that I was really committed to working with you on, to helping you develop that. Mm-hmm. I knew that if I could help you develop a really deep level of self-trust, you were going to be just like a rocket ship from there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, surrender is not about giving up. It's about being courageous enough to let go of the grip.
Yeah.
And to trust.
Let go. And, just let go.
And to trust that in your letting go, life can flow. Mm-hmm. And you can let yourself be rather than trying to control and manage everything. And in that, really beautiful things start, you know, emerging. Things that you would never believe would start emerging. People start behaving differently around you. Have you noticed that?
Huge difference. The amount of flow and momentum that I've had already inside my business with my clients is like insane.
Yes.
Like it is such a huge shift, but I'm like, what is so different? But everything is different. Yeah.
That's one of the most common things people say when they come out of our programs. It's like nothing has changed, but everything is different. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It means that I have the same house, I have the same partner, I have the same body, and yet my relationship with all those things has completely shifted, that I am experiencing it all like a new life. Mm-hmm. Like I literally have seen people come out of our programs and completely fall in love again with their husband of 20 years as if they have had a new marriage.
Well.
And it's like the same marriage, but your relationship with it and your perception of it has completely shifted, that you're experiencing it completely differently. And of course, we live in the life that we experience. That's the world that we get.
And I feel like everyone struggles with relationships, right?
I have a saying when I, you know, if you want to do the advanced program, get into a relationship. Because everybody thinks that we should be getting into relationships because of some romantic fairy tale and the purpose of the relationship is to make me happy. No, we've been taught completely in a distorted way. Mm-hmm. Eckhart Tolle says that the purpose of relationships is for our evolution.
Right.
Meaning there's only so far you can get in learning about yourself until you need an intimate mirror. Mm-hmm. hence get into a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then you have an intimate mirror with you all the time.
Right.
And so once the hormones wear off, you know, the in love, honeymoon phase, it's so fun, it's amazing. And then once all those hormones wear off and those chemicals die down,
yep,
that's when the relationship begins. And usually that's when the triggers start happening and the dynamics start happening. And that's when the work begins.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, can we be an intimate mirror to each other and learn how to work through these things that we're bringing up in each other, mm-hmm. so that we can both grow and get closer and experience even deeper love?
If only we were taught just that part alone, like even growing up, how much more easier relationships would feel, because it's complete distortion of what we're taught.
It is a complete distortion. I think that it's changing. Mm-hmm. I think that the generations are changing. You know, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and she said to me the other day, she was like, Mommy, I just don't want to watch all those cartoons where they keep getting these princesses get saved. I loved the ones when the princesses are really going for who they really are.
Yeah.
Wow, things are changing.
Yes. No, definitely. Because it's just like this conditioning of happily ever after.
Yes. And I think that's why relationships are in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, divorce rates are higher than ever before. Mm-hmm. And I think the conversation around marriage is changing, mm-hmm. but I think that people are realizing that the fairy tale is not sustainable,
yeah.
and it's also not real.
What is one quick tip that you can share with listeners to shift themselves in the moment?
Stop resisting the experience that you're having. And I know that sounds both passive and not powerful enough. Much of what creates suffering, you see, there's a difference between pain and suffering. What Buddha said was, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Mm-hmm. The moment that we stop, we're resisting what is, meaning if there's sadness present or fear present or overwhelm present, the moment that we resist it and try to push it away and control it and manage it, it just gets worse. Mm-hmm. And it will get worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And that's what creates suffering. If you can stop and actually be present with what is and stop resisting, I don't mean collapse into it,
yep.
but actually just let yourself be with it. Mm-hmm. Let it be what it is. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds passive. It's not. It takes a lot of courage to be able to do that. You will not only discover that the suffering dissolves, but you start developing a trust in yourself that you didn't know you can have, mm-hmm. and that changes everything. Mm-hmm. You do that 10 times mm-hmm. in your life alone, mm-hmm. that will change everything about your relationship with yourself. I think I heard that it takes 21 times to rewire a neural pathway in your mm-hmm. brain. Mm-hmm. If you can just even train yourself to just be with the experiences that move through you, mm-hmm. you are literally rewiring your brain.
How can we feel safe and vulnerable inside of a relationship?
I'm going to use myself as an example, mm-hmm. because I think that's helpful for people to hear and identify themselves in that. You know, I was in a 13-year marriage. And when I look back on that, I mean, I'm 45, so I've been doing this a while. But when I look back on why I got into that relationship, I was so kind of blinded by this fairy tale picture in my 30s, yeah. you know, and time was ticking and it was like, you know, I better get on with it now. And so I thought that what I needed was to have children and get married and then I could tick that box and somehow I would be happy. And what I discovered, I want to say that I do not for a second count the end of that 13-year marriage as a failure. I count it as a huge success because both of us grew enormously mm-hmm. in that 13 years and we're still very good friends and we're great parents to mm-hmm. our children. Mm-hmm. But what I discovered in that time was so much about myself that, you know, we spend so much time saying that we want love.
Yeah.
We want love, we want love, we want love. I'm ready for love, I'm ready for love. But actually what I discovered was how frightening it is mm-hmm. to really let love in. And my husband at the time discovered the same about him. And intimacy is so deeply exposing and it brings up everything that you've carried from your past around why it's scary to open your heart. Mm-hmm. When I came out of that marriage, I think the biggest thing for me to learn was, am I ready to be so vulnerable that I was going to allow every part of myself to be seen, even the parts that I was insecure about, that I wasn't sure about. And I was ready for that. I was ready for that kind of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as the way that manifestation works is I then attracted someone that I got into a relationship with that was ready to see me in that way. Mm-hmm. But what was so surprising was that when I attracted someone that was really available, really conscious and really present and really seeing me, I was so shocked at how frightening it was. Everything I said I wanted.
I can imagine.
All I wanted, I was like, oh my God. It's so frightening to stay there, not put the armor on, and let yourself be seen in all the deepest layers of yourself. Mm-hmm. But of course, in being able to sit with that and trust yourself and stay open, keep your heart open, of course, that's when you discover what love is. And then we go right back to the very thing that I say everybody wants. That's when you discover, oh, this is what it feels like to feel seen. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is what it feels like to be connected. And then I realized that all the work that I'd done on myself, this was the gift. And it's just so worth it.
Scared shitless, but yeah.
it's a good scared.
No, that was amazing honesty, thank you so much, because that's where I'm working towards, is keeping my heart open.
Wow, that was really deep. How did it feel to get into it?
Super exposing, if I'm going to be honest. I obviously feel super confident with Nikki, and then even with you ladies, like just being vulnerable. However, when I realized the depth of conversation that we went to, I was like, holy shit, this is going to be online forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we all got to learn so much about, I don't know, tools perhaps to use. Is that how you look at it? When you go, like Cass and I were talking, when you go to therapy, is that what you walk away with, are tools to use? Or how would you describe it? Or
funnily enough, you unlearn all the tools and techniques of what you would learn going to therapy and any other kind of, you know, type of psychology or, I guess, self-development, right? And that was the most challenging part for me when I started working with her. It was, I'm not going to teach you another technique or tool. I'm going to teach you to just be with your emotions.
That's the hardest part.
Right.
So you have to unlearn what we have thought or what's in our head.
Well, unlearn any kind of tool or technique that you get from your therapist. And not to say that it's a bad thing or it doesn't work, but this kind of maturation coaching it's a whole different way of being. And so I had to sit with all these emotions, you know, in the 4 months that I was working with her. And I'd been running from these emotions my entire life.
Aren't we all?
Right. And so I'm like, I don't want to do this. So it was like being a kid, like throwing a tantrum, like, I do not want to do this. I signed up for it, but now I'm like sitting with these emotions and I'm losing my mind.
Can you go deeper into some of the things you had to unlearn?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just like, I'm so curious.
Yeah, good girl.
It's a good question. Had to unlearn that there was something outside of me that was going to fix how I felt. Mm-hmm. And be okay with sitting with the emotion and allowing it to move through me, as opposed to, oh, if I do this, then I'm going to feel this way. Mm-hmm. And my whole life I've been, all right, well, if I do things this way, I'm going to then feel like this. There's always like this outcome that you're searching for. Well, I have been anyway.
What are you searching for?
Searching to escape the feelings that I've been running from. You know, that if I get to a certain point, it's going to make me feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. When I have this, it will be happily ever after, which is all total BS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when you say that you only went to her for 4 months, does that, can you use it later on? Are you going to need to go back? Is it, I'm totally ignorant to this whole to therapy, really. So, because Cass, you go to therapy, you've admitted, like, you go regularly. And this is a process that isn't regular.
It is. I mean, I just chose to do, you know, 4 months with her because it's not the cheapest type of therapy. I'm talking like thousands and thousands.
You paid thousands and thousands to unlearn?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I spent thousands and thousands to learn in college.
But what's funny, the moment that I signed up for it and then mm-hmm. started following her way of being, I almost like doubled my clients and then made back the money that I'd spent with her within like 5-6 months.
Is her type of coaching not something that's covered by insurance?
Definitely not.
Okay.
If I told you how much I spent, you wouldn't believe me.
And see, I'm so cheap that I would. Oh,
but that's how committed I am to like changing my whole way of being. I'm like, mm-hmm. if I want what she's got, like, I don't want to get advice from someone that doesn't have the life that I want. So I look at her life and I'm like, I want what she's got.
Mm-hmm.
I never take advice from someone that I don't want the same life that they're living. It just doesn't make any
sense. You sound so smart. It's like, oh my God.
So is that why people always ask me for advice?
Oh, well, what can even viewers, do you think, what can they learn from this conversation and how can they grow and what can they take away?
I think it's an introduction to a different way of bringing consciousness to things that you probably wouldn't have thought about before.
Right.
And recognizing patterns that, you know, people might be running in their own life.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships especially. That was like a huge topic of our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Do you learn about other relationships, how to distance yourself from them, or how to, which ones you should incorporate, which ones you should not?
I think you recognize why the past relationships that you've had haven't worked, and that's a huge realization, because when you realize that it's all from your past and it has nothing to do with the person in front of you, that's a big pill to swallow, because you're like, it's got nothing to do with the asshole that was in front of me that broke my heart. It all stems from childhood dynamic and a relationship that you had with either parent, or which parent didn't give you the love that you needed and
speaking of that, then how did your parents react? Did you share with them, and how did they react if you turn around and say, well, I acted like this because of what you did? I hear that so much. And
yeah, people, you have to be very conscious of not blaming, because there's this work and then there's blaming and shaming and guilt, and it's not about those three things, right?
And but, so oh wait, repeat that. Blaming,
blame, shame, and
shame
guilt.
And guilt.
Yeah.
Something that I always like remind myself of is that parents are just people who just happen to have kids.
Exactly.
Like they're, I feel like as we grow up, we put them like on this pedestal. And now that I'm older, I'm like, they still like have their own problems, their own, like,
totally.
They're literally in the same position that I am, and they just happen to have a kid.
Yeah.
Like they're just normal
and
people.
Then when I look at my grandparents and I'm like, the way that they were and raising my parents, I'm like, well, they only did what they could.
Exactly.
I mean, I had both immigrant grandparents, so you know, not educated, not highly educated, no emotional intelligence whatsoever. So I'm like, what do I expect? But my parents are well aware that I am very into this work, and I've stopped sharing, so to speak, of, oh, I did this and therefore I learned this. It's almost like I've just changed my way of being, and therefore I've like started a whole new relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's less judgment. They probably feel less judged, because I think from the beginning when I first started going down that path, they probably felt very criticized and very judged because I was having these realizations and sharing it, and it was, well, that would have been because of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think my mum has felt more judged than my dad, because there was a lot of like defensiveness and over explaining as to why certain things were the way they are. And I'm like, I have to be conscious with how I deliver it, because I don't want her to feel some kind of way. She just doesn't have the awareness of understanding.
Do you regret that you did not do this when you were 20 instead of 38? You said that.
I wish. Really? I like, if I could turn back time, I would. I wish I'd started this at 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. And yet, maybe you weren't ready to hear it and to absorb it at that time.
Yeah, I mean, you have to just accept that you know, come into contact with these things when you're ready and like different parts of your life.
But then knowing what I know now, it's like hindsight's a great thing, right? Like,
I think it's also like what you and I were talking about earlier, like how today is just so much more like open and accessible and acceptable now than it was in the past. Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people that are your age and your generation are kind of just now working on it.
Yeah.
While at the same time, my generation is, but we just happen to be like in our 20s while
yeah.
it's happening.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think these things were available back then either. Like, it's very new. I mean, I didn't even know what it was, like maturation coaching. Like, what the hell is that?
Well, again, we were talking when I was talking with Cass, is that you never heard about anybody going to therapy at all in my generation. And you're certainly my parents' generations and all that. It's just, you know.
That's so interesting because, like, my friends and I will be like, oh, what are you doing Thursday at this time? My friend's like, oh, I have therapy. And it's like, it's so it's so casual. It's like you were saying, like, going to Starbucks. Like, we're always like, oh, I have therapy this day at this time. I'm seeing my coach on this day. Like, it's just so, like,
it's like
just normal now. Yeah. It's like going to class.
I think it's a fantastic idea. Like I said, I have to learn to, the biggest takeaway for me in your whole conversation is, you made a comment about you have to learn to embrace vulnerability, right? And that one is, I think that's the biggest thing for me is I don't want to be vulnerable.
It's very challenging.
I want to be protected, loved. And that's why I hang out with my animals a lot. They don't judge me. They don't know. I mean,
like I'm finally in a place where in the past I used to like mask myself and not fully be myself, and people still didn't like me. And now I'm like, well, if you don't like me, at least I'm gonna be fully myself. At least, like, you don't like the fake version of me. You could say you don't like me for who I am, and it doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother me, and I'd be like, in my head, I'm like, well, that's not really even me, and you don't even like me, and I'm not even actually being me. So now it is all out there on the table, whether you like it or not. I don't care. I'm just me.
That's it. And I feel like humans have like an innate deep fear of judgment. That's what I feel like. And so everyone's got some version of a mask on just to kind of get through life.
You know what? I do recognize that like children are so honest, right? Because they're out there.
Oh my gosh, they are.
but then they're taught, no, don't do this. Don't do that.
That's when they start suppressing.
As you're growing up, you get all these.
Don't do this. Don't do that.
Right. But and I so you are. Like you're thinking about. Pardon me?
I don't feel like that's always a bad thing. I feel like that's also kind of a good thing because I'm like, you don't have to tell somebody that you don't like their outfit. Like, there's certain things that kids say and I'm just like, oh, brutal. Like, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
Oh, no, I'm not saying, geez, if we could all be like children, I think we'd be much better off because we're so screwed up with all these layers of defensiveness.
But there's
right?
like suppression and people aren't fully self-expressed because it's like, oh, if I say that, like it's
exactly.
they're not expressed. They're just holding it back for the sake of like, what's that going to mean? Is that going to mean they're not going to like me? Am I going to lose connection? All those things.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, again, what a big day for you.
It was.
I mean, even, you know, us knowing you so well, I thought, oh, you were being brave. Were you nervous?
I was. I really was. I felt for the first time in all my interviews, because I think I was the most vulnerable and I know that it's going online. So I'm like, oh shit.
Welcome to my role. I'm the open book. I say probably a little bit more than I even should.
Yeah.
No, but you were great about asking the questions and getting answers and having her. It's almost like a dance in some respects, right?
Yeah. And I mean, she's obviously, you know, going to hold space and hold you in the highest light because I mean, that's who she is as a person. Mm-hmm. So there's a trust there. Mm-hmm. However, you know, sharing yourself in a town like Hollywood to that extent. I mean, I guess I have nothing to hide now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Hopefully on Stall Talk, we'll find out some more deep thoughts and practices of yours, right? I mean, Cash shares everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I even my girlfriend told me, she said that I'm not honest with sharing even my past. So when I'm even talking to Cass every show, you know, we talk about what we're doing, and she's much more open about who she's seeing that week and what she's doing. And I don't share. And she goes, but Jenny, you did all those things. And I'm thinking,
me? I would never.
See?
Yeah. But now we're really getting to know Jenny Lee.
Well, she, and Cass tries to draw it out of me.
Yeah.
So,
what would that mean if you did that?
So freeing.
What would it mean if you did expose who Jenny Lee really was? What does it mean to you if you did?
I don't think I'll ever do it. I think I'm too old. If Stall Talk is, if Stall Talk is in its fifth year, maybe by that time, every year, you'll see me open up a little bit more and admit, and Cass will go, you are hiding that from me, because I do. I act more prim and proper and all that around Cass. I'm like, and all that. And my girlfriend's going, Jenny, we did all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, no. Mm. So I've just blocked it out of my memory, apparently.
But again, it's that generation, because my mom would be like, oh my God, Ivana, don't talk like that. See? Don't say that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We had this conversation last week behind closed doors as if it's an issue.
Oh,
so wow. It's this good girl. It's like the good girl conditioning that you're like trying to play up.
Absolutely.
To.
I feel like that's one thing that I really love about my family is the way that I talk here, like with you guys, is the exact same way I talk at Thanksgiving.
That's awesome. If you
we'll
ask
be
me.
At Thanksgiving dinner and they'll be like, what'd you do? And I'll be like, oh, I just had cum for breakfast. Like, I will say that in front of my family. And they're just like, well, that's Cass.
See, if she, I'm just saying,
I wasn't expecting
I don't know that I would invite her to my Thanksgiving, even though I love her, but there's no friggin' way I would deal with that, and my family would be aghast. You know, there's just no way. And then I'd be sitting there with my jaw on the table, having to apologize the whole time. And I'd get her in the back room and say, Cass, go out right now and play with the donkey, and I'll deal with you later.
Well, I know. I have common sense. Like, I know a time and a place.
No,
like,
you're...
I'm not, like, in school, like, talking to my professor.
But then,
like,
also, but then also, right? I mean, she's just... being honest.
Oh, she's, right? I love her. She, and frankly, I'd also defend her and say,
but,
you know, she's
what
wonderful.
I'm getting at
but
is a generation, the judgment of generation
absolutely.
Of like.
Absolutely.
Like, it's so normal. I bet so many other people did the same thing too, but they just don't talk about it.
But see, at my age, I don't know that I can. Okay, so how old am I?
I don't even think it's age.
I can't relearn all those years.
Generally, I think it's just generation, and it's just how we've been conditioned. Because at the end of the day, it's like, okay, if you were the same and you did the same sort of behavior, it's just like, what happened to you when you were honest? Or like, did it, you know, did that mean that your mum reacted to you a certain kind of way? Like, there was...
Absolutely.
Right.
That makes sense, because
absolutely.
Your guys' families are like that.
Yeah.
But mine isn't.
It's like Italian Catholic family. Are you serious? As if women have sex at... It's like, hello, how do we just have all these babies? Like...
Exactly. It's like, you know, when growing up that I bought my... first condo when I was really young, and my mom was really pissed that I was moving out of the house and moving away.
Wow.
And I said, and she indicated without saying it that the only reason why you're doing that is so you can be with your boyfriend.
Literally, exactly like my mom and my dad. She left home so she could be with my dad.
And that was, and I had to tell my mom, which was really hard. I said, Mom, I've already been with my boyfriend. So, but that's what we say is been. We would never said we're, you know, screwing them or, you know.
God forbid you said the word sex.
Screw. Yeah, you can't say screwing them. And I couldn't even say I'm having sex with my boyfriend already, Mom. You know, you would never. And
it's just generational
that is
thing.
So and I guess your families and the people that you surround yourself with too, that makes sense. Yeah.
Now I will say today my mother, bless her heart, she's 95.
Oh wow.
I will talk about the sex that I'm having today with my mom, you know, that in her, that I'll go, Mom, I had some pretty good sex last night. And she'd be
kind of like,
I wouldn't feel, not that that's the topic that I choose to still talk about with my mom, but I wouldn't have. So my mom has grown and I have to become more comfortable.
Yeah.
But I have a long way to go to be as comfortable as Cass, and I hope to.
I relate to that. Like, the older I have become, like with my mom, I just share a lot more, and she's like, nothing phases me these days. I've heard it all. So I'm like, this is great. She's getting somewhere.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I loved this journey. Thank you for taking us down it with you. And yeah. And well, hopefully we can hear from her again or something. Yeah. I'd like to go to her, but I'm too cheap. I wouldn't be paying the thousands of dollars. Maybe if she has some sort of group class.
She does. And that's the thing. Okay. So basically I did one of her group, you know, situations, and I asked her after that to do one-on-one. It wasn't even an offer. And she was like, are you sure you want to go one-on-one? I was like, I'm very sure. And then I regretted it the moment I started it because of how much I had to face within myself.
How do you feel now?
I feel like a completely different person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like still grieving the old person that I was. So it's a transition.
That makes sense.
And what do you grieve?
I guess
about the older person
who I thought I was that actually wasn't really me. It was just a bunch of conditioning and behavior patterns that I had.
But did the older person have more fun?
I wouldn't say more fun. I would say less chaos and drama.
But see, I'm also a firm believer that ignorance is bliss because there's a lot that, because ignorance means, to qualify it, it's just that you just don't know.
Yeah.
It's not that you're stupid or anything else. You just don't know. You're ignorant of that scenario.
Sure.
And as I get older, it's like, no, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to know. It's like when people on the news, if the news gets too bad, I turn it off. I know it's out there. I just don't want to know.
I do feel the same at times. I'm like, if I didn't go down this path, I wouldn't have known this, and this. Yeah. But then I'm like, the way that my life is now and how I run my business and the people that I get to work with, and like I live here in LA and I have the most amazing opportunities. I'm like, I don't think I would have gotten to this point if I had still been that person.
That's fabulous.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, huh? That's my big thing with Cass. Oh, yeah.
Well, both believe that.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so very much for sharing in this episode of Stall Talk. And thank you. And, you know, love these girls.
Trending up, trending down.
What?
Hey guys, it's that time, trending up and trending down on Stall Talk. Right now, protein is all the rage. Get your protein content in, get your macros, all of that is the thing right now. So Khloe Kardashian just hopped on the trend and now she has protein popcorn. I keep seeing people talk about it all over the internet. I walked into Target and it was all over the shelves. What do you guys think about it? Have you tried it? Let's talk about it in the comments. That's all for me for trending up and trending down.
So thanks so much for watching and listening another episode of Stall Talk.
Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on all our social media platforms. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.